This is Life Talk, where we tell it like it is. Life Talk is motivational, helping you get to the next level in life. Life Talk is educational, to broaden your knowledge. Life Talk is inspirational, to get you fine-tuned to start doing what you love doing. Life Talk, sponsored by CamerEducation.org. And here's your host, Marietta Kammerer.
Hello and welcome to Life Talk with Marietta. I am your host, Marietta Kammerer. I said in an interview on WICC just last week that 99% of Life Talk programs are mental and emotional education. If you ignore your thoughts and feelings, it can have tremendous impact on our mind, body, and soul. So we have to take that serious. In my opinion, we must have and practice mental health awareness every day, 24/7. Call it mental and emotional hygiene. Mental health awareness May 2022 is the month which is dedicated to highlighting and reducing the stigma around people with mental health conditions, disabilities, treatments, and other concerns. So tonight we're gaining an understanding of mental health in all its forms. I have Dr. Chris Gilbert, MD, PhD, author. On the web, you can find her, drchrisgilbert.com, drchrisgilbert.com. And around 7:35, Julie Winter will join us. She's a psychotherapist. And Julie is also the author of dancinghomebook.com. And she will talk and dive into intuition, a very interesting topic. So, and I'm very excited that Dr. Chris will also talk about her just recent trip to Ukraine, Poland, and Germany, and interviewed many, many of them people there. So she just came back. She's only back for maybe 5 or 6 days. So I have a lot of questions for the doctor, but I do have some announcements. I have two books that I'd like to give away. One is How the Health Are You by Warren Honeycutt, 7 Keys to Success. And the second book is Dancing Home by Julie Winter. And I have a $20 gift card for a healthy shake by Lakeside Nutrition. Now, I hope, Mr. Engineer, you will let me know during the show to announce that again, because last week I forgot that. So the gift card, it's a $20 gift card, but it's for two people. So that's really a nice gift, Lakeside Nutrition in Milford. So it's nice to take your sweetie and take a drive up there and have a healthy shake. Really good tasting, too. So the studio number here is 203-333-9422. I'm going to get started with the program, and I will announce this a little later during the program. Just remind me, Rich. So let's get started, please. I love Michael McDonald, so I hope you enjoy the music tonight. Mental Health Awareness Month. Yes, it's May 2022. Good evening, Dr. Chris Gilbert. How are you?
Good evening, Mariette. Very well, thank you. Just back from Ukraine and the rest of Europe. But really good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad, thank you. I hope you're unpacked, because that was...
Yes.
You are all unpacked, everything.
All unpacked, everything washed, yes.
Good. Let me get started right away, because we have a lot to talk about. When we talk about stigma, what is that all about? The stigma, negative attitudes, and, I like to get your professional opinion about mental health.
Well, a lot of people have stigma about mental health. I mean, and it could come from several sources, like personal or social or family beliefs, or from the medical health condition itself, which may cause a person to act outside of what is considered the social or cultural norm. Some people believe that people with mental illness can be violent or dangerous, but in reality, only a small percentage are violent. And there is much more violence against people with mental illness than violence caused by person with mental illness. So what we should really do is protect people with mental illness rather than fearing them. And the Mental Health Foundation says that nearly 9 out of 10 people with a mental health feel a stigma, and the discrimination negatively impacts their life. I mean, they have social isolation because of that stigma. They have low self-esteem, hopelessness, shame. A lot of people have shame. Their symptoms can worsen because of that. They can be discriminated at work, and they get unemployed, and then they can avoid treatment, which is not good. They really should be treated. Because according to the CDC, Center for Disease Control and Prevention, mental illness, and you've said it, is among the most common health conditions in the United States. And more than 50% of U.S. adults will need mental health treatment at some point during their lifetime. And in addition, 1 out of 25 people are currently living with a serious mental illness, such as could be an eating disorder, a bipolar disorder, a major depression, a post-traumatic stress disorder. People really, really need treatment, and they're very effective treatment. Now we have wonderful treatment against anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, and the sooner people are treated, the better the result is. For severe depression, before we didn't have any answer or any treatment, or then we had antidepressant medications. But if people were not reactive to antidepressant medication, then what? We had electroshock therapy, which was not the greatest. But now we have a nasal spray called the ketamine nasal spray, which can be used just once a week in the medical office, and it does wonders very quickly. People get out of depression. So people should not have stigma. They should really look for a treatment, and then wonderful things can happen.
Yeah. How can we really tell that we have a mental illness, Dr. Chris? How can we tell? Because maybe the person thinks, oh, it's all normal. So they don't pay any attention to it. So, but how can we tell that somebody has a mental illness?
There's so many ways to tell, Mariette. We need to be attentive to details. The way the person looks at you, is there light in their eye? Is there a twinkle in their eye? Or is there no light at all in their eye? If there's no light at all, if it feels very dull, it could be a depression. We need to pay attention to the tone of their voice. Is there a variety of tone? Or is there only monotone, just one tone? And that could be also depression. How do they hold themselves? How do people walk? How do they hold their hands? Do they have their hands twisted, you know, crossed against their body in a very defensive way, or not? How do what I do? I look at their nails. You know, is there some, for some people, there's no nails left or very little left. They bite their nails. That's a sign of very intense anxiety. How is their hair? Is their health kept or is it unkept? Women, if they're used to have makeup on, maybe they don't have makeup on when you see them. Is there a difference? Now, the clothes that they wear, is it kept? Is it the same as usual? Is it not? The shoes that they wear. There are so many ways to see indices. You're like a detective. I would be like a detective, mm-hmm. and I can detect right away if somebody is out of the norm, their norm, you know, and then we can do something about it.
Exactly. Since your professional opinion only counts tonight, but I do want to mention I see it as well, but my opinion really doesn't matter tonight. I don't want it to matter. But it is so true. It is how you keep your hygiene, your appearance. The minute you open up your mouth, what you talk about, can you keep a conversation? There's so many indicators. And isn't it interesting how a lot of people put on a face, an apostrophes, a face, and they make believe everything is wonderful with them? I meet people like that from time to time as well. They can really fool the world, you know?
Yes. Yeah, and I was saying it, the tone of voice. I was saying, you know, monotone would not be good, but it would indicate a depression. But somebody who is always happy and very, very excited all the time could also be a sign of bipolar. For example, people being excited all the time and which will have other periods of depression. So I'm very sensitive to people that are always, always, always very happy and up, 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 up. That could be a sign too.
Right. Now get this. Now you take a person like that with that behavior and you add on to they're telling you all the different things that they're going to do. And then when you check back with them, nothing was done. So that's another indicator for me. Hey, wait a minute. Something isn't right. And especially that repeats itself 2, 3, 4 times. And then I just recognize it's a pattern. So, and it is, you know, but you just don't want to go up to them and say, hey, you know what? I think there's something wrong with you because they're procrastinators. It's really overall how they live their life, too, how they live, what purpose they have, their purpose. Because when you do have some acquaintance and friends, you do have different conversations at times. So you get an idea, you know, how busy they are and what they busy themselves with and so forth. So if it's, you know, you can't play 7 days a week tennis or you sit by the ocean and watch the water or the, you know, whatever. You can't do that. That's not a purpose. So, and again,
that's true. Yeah.
The purpose, we have to have a purpose. And if I always say, if people don't know what their purpose, start helping other people, start volunteering, go into a food kitchen, go to all these organizations. They all need help. They need help in the office. They need help with whatever. And I'm sure with your skills and talents that people have, they can help. That's the best. Oh. That's the best start, isn't it?
That's interesting because you're talking about this, and I met in Poland at the Ukrainian Polish Ukrainian border an American man who was alone in his house, and he heard the news like 2 months ago, and he had no purpose in his life. He heard the news about the Ukrainian refugees, and so he started writing to all those organizations, and one organization says, yeah, we need people, and he went with that organization, and we met him at the Polish-Ukrainian border, and he was very happy to help people. He didn't have any purpose before, but now he's found his purpose, and he was so changed. That was very interesting. Now that you're talking about this,
yeah. How old of a man is he?
He was 63.
Yeah, still a young man. See, that's what I love. That's what I love. And even if you have a house to attend to, you have friends that can take care of whatever they, you know, your bills and whatnot. You can get that all managed. 1, 2, 3, and off you go. And it takes a lot of courage, because I don't know if I would have the courage to go into a war zone, you know, and so forth. But anyway, I'm just going to go for a quick break. We'll be right back. So don't touch the dial, and, you know, we'll be a quick break. Every time I hear this song, I see the raisin stands. Remember, Dr. Chris, on television, they used this song, and the raisins were dancing. So cute. I still have that in my mind. Anyway, Rich just gave me a quick reminder. I have two books that we're giving away tonight. How the Health Are You by Warren Honeycutt, 7 Keys to Success, and Dancing Home by Julie Winter. And the third is the $20 gift card for Healthy Shakes by Lakeside Nutrition. Studio, you got to call now. Studio number 203-333-9422. The shakes are worth it, let me tell you. The books are fantastic. And, you know, they're $20, $25 books each, you know. So you might use it as a gift on... Definitely read it yourself. It's wonderful. You learn something. We have Dr. Chris Gilbert with us tonight. She is MD, PhD, author on the web, drchrisgilbert.com. drchrisgilbert.com. So before the break, we talked about Ukraine, and let's go to Ukraine now. That's where Dr. Chris Gilbert was with her husband for over a week. You got the floor, Dr. Chris.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what we did with my husband, we did a trip from, we rented a car from Paris, France. So first we flew from Los Angeles to Paris, rented a car in Paris, France, and then took a trip across Germany, interviewed Ukrainian refugees in Germany in the little town of Homburg, in Saarland. And then we found the owner of a hotel that in Bad Ems that is hosting 30 Ukrainian refugees. The whole hotel was full of Ukrainian refugees that stay there for free, and that was wonderful. We interviewed people there, and then
Sorry to interrupt. How did you find the refugees? Did you
We knew people. We knew one Ukrainian refugee, and she in all the Ukrainian refugees have a network of people that they know, mm-hmm. and they get together on, I think it's Telegram, and then they can talk. They can ask if other people in the area would want to talk to us. So they did make an announcement, see if other people would want to talk to us. They found other people that would want to talk to us, mm-hmm. would be willing to. And we went to those people's addresses. We were welcomed in a home, for example, in Marpingen, Germany, in Saarland also. We went to that hotel in Bad Ems. That's how we found by people. It's a whole network of people who know each other and mm-hmm. who knew about us, and they were willing to talk to us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for explaining that.
Yeah, and also then we went to Poland. So in Poland, we didn't know anybody. But there's so many refugees. There are over 3 million refugees. So in every town in Poland, there are areas for refugees to get their rice and the milk and the lentils, the durable goods with canned food, canned meat. So we went to those areas, those towns, to meet those refugees there. In Poland, that's where we interviewed them. And then we went to the little town of Zamość at the Polish border, Polish-Ukraine border. And then we tried to go across the border into Ukraine, but we had a rental car from Paris. And the Polish authorities, when they asked the papers of the car, they said, "Oh no, it's a rental car. You're not allowed to go into Ukraine. Your car is not insured against bullet holes and shrapnel."
Oh my God! Yeah.
So they said, "No, you cannot get in."
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to leave the car at the border, and then the Ukrainian people and Polish people were so helpful. They found they did everything to find us a ride to go into Ukraine, and because we had to go into Ukraine by car. We couldn't go by foot. We were ready to cross the border by foot, but they said no. They said, but if we are in Ukraine, we can cross the border back into Poland by foot, which is what we did afterwards to come back. But to get into Ukraine, then we found a young 23-year-old Ukrainian with a completely beat-up car who took us to the little town of Rava Ruska in Ukraine. And there we did some more interviews. We met delightful people, wonderful, wonderful Ukrainian people. And then we came back across the border by foot. Then we went to the Czech Republic, interviewed more Ukrainian refugees. It was just a very emotional trip because we found some very surprising insights. And so I'm actually writing an article right now for Psychology Today about the 12 most surprising insights that we learned. So you know this firsthand because the article is not published yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I can give you a clue. Like, one of the surprising insights is that in a lot of Ukrainian refugees, anger was not the dominant emotions. It was mostly sadness. They said that they were a very peaceful country, and all they wanted to do is work and live and be happy with their family. There were other surprising insights. Some Ukrainian refugees said they would feel safer if they were in Ukraine, who was under, you know, bombardment and attacks by the Russians, rather than being in a safe country outside Ukraine, which was surprising. One woman we really liked, her name is Daria. We met her in Krakow, Poland. She said she missed her husband so much. They were newlyweds. They just got married in Kyiv less than a year ago. And she really wanted to go back to Kyiv to be with her husband and her parents and her friends. And she said she would feel safer in Ukraine rather than staying in Poland, where she had no family and friends and where, in reality, she was safer in Poland. But she said in Poland she felt helpless and she felt lost because she couldn't plan for her future anymore. She didn't know where she would be next week, next month. And that made her very anxious. Whereas if she was back in Ukraine, she could be with her husband, her parents, and she would do everything she could to help her family and friends. And by the way, you're the first one to know. I just heard from her this morning, where she said she actually is back in Kyiv, back in Ukraine, and she feels so good. And even though Kyiv has been bombarded lately, she really feels like this is where she belongs and she wants to stay there. So those are examples, but I have so many more. I don't know how much time I have.
Yeah,
let me know if I can talk more.
We have another minute or so, but I do want to inject In the HealingMindMagazine.com, I had an article that I'd like people to read if they're interested. This lady in Bonn, Gabrielle, she made an apartment available in her house for the four women. They were mother, two daughters, and a granddaughter. And I just spoke to Gabby yesterday over Facebook, and they're gone. I said, what happened? They were there for 7 weeks. I said, you just got the apartment ready. So one of the women went to the United States. One of the other woman went back to Ukraine. And the third woman moved in to another German place where she knew another Ukrainian woman. So now she has new people coming into the house, and she's doing that for free. She's not, because she gets help from the government. That's not why she's renting out. She's doing it for free. Dr. Chris, 30 seconds I have. Can you do it in 30 seconds?
Sure. I was very surprised by the helpfulness, the extreme helpfulness of the local German people and the local Polish people. This woman in Germany, in Marpingen, she opened her house to us, but she opened her home to Olga, this pregnant Ukrainian refugee with her five-year-old son. And she recounts how she really helped both of them. We interviewed both of them, and they really, really, really helped them. So, and in another few seconds, I want to say that we saw the worst, but we also saw the best in people with an incredible solidarity between European countries to help Ukraine. And I now realize how fragile happiness is, how one day we could be happy with family and friends in peace, and the following day we could be at war. So peace is now not a given for me and needs to be really appreciated.
You know, thank you, Dr. Chris. And I like to add to this, if you're not happy with your life, if you're bored, you know, start helping other people. Get involved, call some organizations and help. It can be a soup kitchen, whatever. They all need help. And this is what I did. And this is how I helped myself when I got very sick. And by helping others, you take a load off your brain, off your mind. Yeah, and you learn something as well. So you got to get involved. So we're going to go for a break now, commercial break, and afterwards we have Julie Winter coming on. Don't you know I'll always be the one. You don't have to go to be your beautiful to strangers.
When Sarah's daughter was born, Connecticut paid leave enabled her to stay home for 12 weeks to bond with her instead of the 4 weeks that she could afford. After Nicole's hip surgery, Connecticut paid leave allowed her to take the time off to recover. And when John's wife needed post-operative care, Connecticut paid leave let him stay home with her instead of sending her to a rehab facility. These are a few stories of real Connecticut workers helped by Connecticut paid leave. Submit your application for benefits at ctpaidleave.org.
And now back to Life Talk on WICC 600. Here's Marietta.
Welcome to Julie Winter's World. Julie, well-known internationally as a brilliant psycho-spiritual therapist, channel, astrologer, and author of DancingHomeBook.com, available on Amazon. Julie is sharing her gifts and talents, answering your questions in times of economic stress and uncertainty. Welcome, Julie Winter.
Good evening, Julie. How are you?
Good evening, Marietta. How are you?
I'm great. We have beautiful weather here, 75 degrees, and I think everybody is sitting at the ocean here at the in the parks. Quick announcement, Dancing Home Book, available by Julie Winter. If you call the studio, 203-333-9422, you will get a free copy. Also, How the Health Are You? By Warren Honeycutt, 7 Keys to Success. That's it. So, Julie,
okay.
We're excited.
Dr. Chris, you are an inspiring person.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Julie.
You are an inspiring person. I'm going to read from my book a little bit. Mm-hmm. My book is Dancing Home. And the scene is the beginning of a tarot class taught by a woman named Frida, who is a meditation teacher, a wise woman, and among other things, teaches the tarot for people to go more deeply into themselves and understand the symbolic meanings in their lives. So Frida says, please shuffle your deck 3 times and then cut it 3 times. Focus on what this moment is for you and choose 1 card. Look at it and then let yourself move with your breath rather than your thoughts, and see what emerges. They regard the cards in silence for several minutes. I will look at 3 of them and talk about them, Frida says. Duane, what is yours? Duane shows her the Ace of Cups. The tarot cards have pictures on them. Look at the table, the picture of the table on this card. It holds food, so the card is connected to nourishment. It is a water card, so it is connected to feeling, and the water is spilling over, abundance, fertility. Duane looks pleased, if not convinced. Step shows her his card. Strength, says Frida. When certain feelings are conquered, the passions that are unruly, we have made allies of them. Passion is mastered. Fortitude and constancy emerge. Life's obstacles can be tolerated, used as a doorway to knowledge. I know this is old-fashioned language, but bear with it, she adds. Passions that begin as hard to control or are controlling you become your teachers. Or, as I said, your allies. This is the strength of union. Jeff nods. It is not exactly the story of his life, but he aspires to it. And one more. Bart, you have chosen the magician. It is a fire card, the card of Aries, so it represents beginnings and potency, power that is present but not yet developed. This is indicated by the raised right hand. Action is available, but not yet taken. He has all the elements on his table, fire, earth, air, and water. And that is another indication of power and connection to many forces. The infinity sign floats above his head, the serpent around his waist. His gifts are eternal. Bart is surprised by the card. He does not think of himself in this way, potent, with power available. But it is a direction he wants to pursue, so he is encouraged. It is a path Ingrid is always suggesting for him, and Stephen, his friend, in his way. They show each other the cards they have chosen and speak a bit of what they imagine their meaning might be. Well, I'm going to talk about oracles and how are oracles connected to one's well-being in life. An oracle is a person or agency considered to provide wise and insightful counsel or prophetic predictions, most notably including precognition of the future, inspired by the deities. So, among the most famous oracles were the Greek oracles. They were all women. And they were consulted in matters of great importance to state and to the well-being of the country. I'm not actually in favor of fortune-telling. However, it's possible to understand and be guided by the energy of the future. You use one of the many kinds of oracles to be guided about the present, to be guided about the past, and about the future. And the tarot cards is a reading whereby practitioners use tarot cards purportedly to gain insight into the past, present, or future. There's the future again. They formulate a question, then draw cards to interpret them for this end. And I have drawn cards for us, which I will read a little bit later. When the Dalai Lama was fleeing Tibet, one of the very highly trained monks did a ceremony with the whole community, working in an altered state, working in a trance state, guide the Dalai Lama to find the route that would take him safely out of Tibet, safely out of the country. And they consulted the astrologers. Astrology is taken very seriously in Tibet. And indeed, he left the country with his small entourage safely from the guidance of this oracle. So what are oracles besides the tarot cards? There are many. There are many. There's a book called the I Ching, which is from the Chinese tradition. And there's a wonderful edition of that book with an introduction by the great psychiatrist Carl Jung. Sometimes seeking guidance, people just open a book, often the Bible, but not necessarily the Bible. It could be a book of poetry. Open, ask your question. I need guidance on this aspect of my relationship, let's say. Open the book. Just put your finger down on a page and read the text of where your finger is. And what you find will often be guidance that pertains to your question. Dreams. I don't know how many of you in the audience have had dreams that guide you, that reveal wisdom to you. And even though I'm not in favor of predictions, sometimes dreams show you pieces of the future. They might show you a person that you then meet or a place that you then visit. So dreams are potentially oracles. Guidance is always available to us. Say it again. Guidance is always available to us if we ask and take the time and the effort to make an inquiry. So my understanding of using this kind of guidance is as an inquiry. Tell me about this aspect of my travel to come. Tell me about my health. So you're making an inquiry into a particular subject rather than asking for an answer. And then you need to evaluate the guidance of your dreams, the guidance of the tarot reading, the guidance of the I Ching, the guidance from channeling. When I channel, I always say to people, this is just information. It comes from what I think is a realm outside the physical realm. It comes through me. We need to talk about it at the end of the session, and you need to evaluate it. Don't assume because someone is channeling that all the information is correct. Evaluate, explore, make an inquiry. So I have chosen three cards on behalf of all of us. I meditated on it yesterday, and I was asking for guidance about our present situation in the world, which is so complex, so many moving parts, so many things that are frightening, and so many things, as Dr. Chris was saying, that are extraordinary and wonderful, people reaching out with generosity to other people, people in need, people offering their homes. I did the simplest kind of reading. The first card, there are three cards in this. The first card represents the energy of the past. The second card represents the present situation as it is. And the third card represents the energy of the future, what we think of as the future. The physicists say all time is simultaneous. In our physical bodies, we generally don't experience that. So here are the cards that I received. The first card is the card called Justice. In the tarot, it's part of what is the called the Major Arcana. Those are very important cards. And it's a picture of a man sitting on a throne, holding a sword in his right hand. Everything that you see on a tarot card is meaningful in the same way that every aspect of a dream is meaningful. The colors, the people, the objects, the interactions. He's wearing a robe. And a shawl. There are two columns on the card, one to his right, one to his left. Justice represents impartiality, honesty, and the law. It represents being accountable for past choices. So this is our collective recent past. I find that interesting, particularly being accountable for past choices. One of the things that comes up very often in my channeling is that we come into this earth realm, we are born into this world, to learn how to make choices and to be responsible for our choices. No one is responsible for the choices that you make except you. Sometimes we are in situations that we can't control, as Dr. Chris was saying, people caught in war. But the choice that is in your consciousness, in your own believing, in your own attitude, that's up to you. That's up to you. So the second card, which represents the present, is the Ace of Swords. And the Ace of Swords is a hand with clouds around the wrist and up toward the elbow, holding a sword. There's a crown on the sword and greenery coming down on the side of the sword and mountains down below. Breakthrough, clarity, sharp mind. So the guidance from this card is about breakthrough, clarity, and sharp mind. And that is the guidance for this present time. And the third card is the King of Cups. There's a king holding a golden cup and a scepter, wearing robes. His feet are on a platform. He has water around him, underneath him. And it represents, so this is the coming energy, generosity, emotional balance, creativity and spirit, and the spirit which thrives in calm. Generosity, control. Control could be seen in a couple of ways. Emotional balance, creativity and spirit, which thrives in calm. So if you are interested in any of these oracles, there are many different decks, tarot decks. I am using for this purpose the old deck called the Rider deck, the Rider-Waite deck. But there are many beautiful and artistic decks, and also many books that you can read on the subject should you be interested. My suggestion in any relationship to this kind of delving, particularly if you're going to use cards, is that even if you're doing it in a playful way, that your attitude toward what you are doing is respectful. So your attitude toward cards, toward the Ching, toward your dreams, toward information that comes to you, that is wise information, may come when you're doing something completely different, that you have a curious and respectful attitude toward it and using it. So that's what I have to say.
All right.
Marietta, how you want to ask me a couple of questions?
Yes. Can anyone use oracles? Now, I know a lot of people are interested in this, and a lot of people go to professional people to find out what's happening in their life and so forth. So I'm sure anybody can use it, but will they really understand it? This has to be learned. This has to be learned. Right, Julie?
Yes. Yes. However, anybody can use it, and as I said, with an attitude of respect. Begin to read about it, experiment with, let's say, tarot cards or the I Ching. The I Ching is a little bit more difficult because the way it's written is harder to understand. So anybody can do it. To become proficient in it, I have a dear friend and colleague, who, among other things, works with the tarot, and she is extraordinary. Yes. Become proficient in it takes time, takes study, takes dedication. Yes.
Dr. Chris, I'm sure you have a question too, but card number 3, energy of future. I like to see all of us, the entire world, the entire globe, more generosity, emotional balance.
Yes.
control goes, you know, either way. Creativity.
Yes.
But thriving. And you also said in a calm way.
In a calm way.
Dr. Chris, I know you have a question, too.
I was just thinking about what Julie says about being respectful. It's not really a question, but I'm realizing how important it is, this term of respect. If we could respect other people's opinion, if we could try to listen and understand, but really respect, the world would be such a better place to respect each other. That's just what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yes, to respect. Yes, and respect nature and the divine quality of nature and the right of all people to different ideas and inclusivity. Yes.
Interesting. Well, we have...
Yeah, if the whole world...
Yeah, we have about 3 minutes left. We have four. See, I don't know how to count. Oh, by the way, the books are gone, right? The books, both books are gone, yes. We have about four minutes left. Mr. Rich is very generous today with his time. So we got three, four minutes left. So, that's right. Thank you. In my closing statement, I do want to mention, I have to get right to the point, get involved helping other people. That's number one. That's just, you know, that's just the way it is, because you will take your mind off of whatever you're thinking. So, and it will help you mentally, emotionally, and physically. I have gone through it. So all of a sudden, my illness... I never had a chance to say, oh, why me? Oh, poor me. Never did. Went to soup kitchens, worked with the with an organization to have the blue uniform. I can't think of Salvation Army. And, oh, my God, it helped me so much. And I had never taken the time. It's amazing when you want to, what time you can find. Right, Julie? Isn't it amazing when you
want to
do something? How you can find the time.
Yes, and I started an organization in New York with several colleagues called Healing Works, which was a not-for-profit organization, and the mission was to offer many, many kinds of alternative care to the underserved members of our population. You are not allowed in grant applications ever to say poor. So in the time that we, and everything that we offered was for free. If people were able to make a donation, they did. In the time that Healing Works served New York City, we saw about 10,000 people, homeless people, people from needle exchange programs, people from every walk, people who had AIDS, whose resources had been exhausted by their medical payments. Was an extraordinary place. And we had practitioners who were at the top of their field online to donate their time.
Mm-hmm. I know, Dr. Chris, you've been with Doctors Without Borders. You've done a lot, too, around the world.
It makes me think about what Vladimir Vala said. We met this man, a young man, who was getting married in a couple of months. He was working for the Sant'Egidio organization, a Catholic organization from Rome, Italy, and I was in Brno in Poland. And we asked him, you know, what did you learn about yourself? And he said, it's interesting what he learned. He said, before doing this work, he thought that money was happiness. But he learned that when you serve other people, I'm quoting him, when you serve other people, your pain gets smaller. Mm-hmm. And when you look at making people happy, you will find happiness. And I found it. He said he has found happiness in making the Ukrainian refugees happy. And that was striking. That was very important, I thought.
Thank you, Dr. Chris Gilbert. And thank you, Julie Winter. I really appreciate both of you. And I want everybody to have a great week. We have some great temperatures. Get the bathing suits out. And listen, come back to us next week, Tuesday. We're back here, 7 to 8. Have a great week. And good night, Julie. And good night, Dr. Chris.
Good night, Marianne.
Good night.
Nice, Mary.
Good night. Good night, Julie.